Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Welcome to Everlasting Love. I'm excited about today's program because we're going to be introducing you to El Shaddai. It's the name for God, the God of all plenty, the God of almighty. He is amazing, and you are going to have breakthroughs. You're going to come into a season of abundance. There's so many good things for you on today's program that we're going to prophesy the word of the Lord over your life, and we're going to watch God do great things. And so with us, we have our very own Robert Hodgkin. And Robert, I'm so excited about this teaching because you introduced it at a staff meeting.
That's right.
And I was sitting there like, whoa, tell me more, tell me more. I just love the word. Yeah. I love the way that you teach it, the way that you break it open. And so I wanted our viewers to hear all about this El Shaddai impartation, the promise of God for this season that they're in. It's going to be amazing. So break open the word to
awesome.
Us.
Awesome. And that's what it is. This is a promise of God for this season. I was preparing for one of our staff meetings, for one of our devotional times, and I asked the Lord, what do you want to say right now? And the Lord told me, I want to reintroduce myself to my people as El Shaddai. So that, of course, got me very intrigued. I dug into the word. I found the different places in the Bible where he says, where he shows up and he introduces himself as El Shaddai. And whenever he does it, amazing things happen, Patricia. Breakthroughs happen, increase happens, transformation happens.
Awesome.
And what got me really excited is the very first time he shows up, the first time in the Bible God announces himself as El Shaddai, is in the middle of a mess. And yet from that mess, he brings forth everything he had ever promised for Abram
and
Sarai.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. How many of you are in a mess
right
now?
Come on, that's right.
And you're even feeling alone in that mess, and you're wondering, God, where are you in this? Where are you in this? He's right in the middle of it. And watch him turn it around. In Jesus' name, we
decree that
it will turn around, that your mess, it's going to become a message.
That's right.
For his glory. Amen.
That's what happened when El Shaddai shows up. Messes become messages. Tests become testimonies. Now, the context of the first time El Shaddai shows up goes all the way back to Genesis 15, where God is giving all these promises to Abram, and he says, you know what, Lord, this is amazing, but I'm a legacy guy. What's going to happen to this down the road because I don't have an heir?
Right.
And God gives him this amazing promise and says, you're going to have a son. You're going to have an heir. And Abram gets excited about it. He thinks about it. He asked God some questions about it, and it all boils down to God saying, this is a covenant promise. In other words, you can count on this promise, Abram, because you can count on me. And so Abram's excited as any of us would be. He gets past his fears and doubts, but then some time starts passing. And we see Abram and Sarai in Genesis 16, and they start to get up in their own heads. They're like, well, God gave us this promise, but it doesn't seem to be coming about. It doesn't seem to be happening. Can any of you relate to that? Have any of you had words from the Lord, promises from God, and it seems like, oh, it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. What happened to God's promise? Well, I want to tell you, you can be encouraged because this is what El Shaddai specializes in. So Sarai says to Abram something very interesting. She says, you know, behold, Abram, the Lord has kept me from becoming pregnant. Now, what's key here is that she says, Abram, behold, look at me, look at the situation, look at what fear and doubt are saying. She gets her eyes off of God, and she gets her eyes on the situation.
Boy, and we need to be reminded of that.
We really do.
In the midst of crisis and hardship, it's so easy to get into the negativity
it
all and forget the goodness of God and forget his promises that
he
previously made.
That's right, because he's made the promise. He said, it's a covenant deal. You can count on it because you can count on me. So they get into fear, they get into doubt, they start looking at the circumstances, they start looking at it's not happening how we want, when we want, the way we want. It's good to be expectant with God, but we can never let our expectations of God's promises create fear and doubt in us if what we're expecting isn't happening the way we want, when we want. Our expectation is in God. Mm-hmm. Our expectation is in His faithfulness, His trustworthiness. Our situation, the enemy's always going to make us look at our circumstances to doubt God's promises and God's character and nature. He did that to Jesus in the garden. He shows up to Jesus after 40 days of fasting and going without water, and he says, if you're a son of God, you better turn these stones to bread. In other words, he's saying, it doesn't look to me like your Father's taking care of you. Right. He's let you go hungry and thirsty for 40 days. You better take care of yourself. But Jesus says something profound. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the Father's mouth. And the amazing thing, Patricia, is think about the last words that have proceeded from the Father's mouth to Jesus. The declaration, just before he went into the desert, the declaration of you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So Jesus models to us how to walk through these situations perfectly. Hold on to the character and nature of God, hold on to the promises of God, and let your revelation of what God is like impact your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances affect your revelation of what God is like.
Come on.
But Abram and Sarah, they don't walk it out perfectly, and rarely do any of us. But God's bigger than that. So in Genesis 16:2, there's another really key scripture. It says, Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So Sarai got into fear, she got into doubt, she got into this whole mindset of, honey, God seems to be dragging his feet, why don't we help him along a little bit? Let's get this ball rolling. And you know, one of the things you'll often hear quoted, one of a scripture that's often quoted actually isn't even a scripture, it's God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah,
and that's not in the Bible. I want to tell you guys, that is not scripture. When you hear that, realize that's not the word of God. Our Bible is one long, incredible love letter from the Lord declaring that he helps those who can't help themselves. Yeah. That's who El Shaddai is.
Yes.
He's the God who shows up for all of us to help us when we can't do it ourselves. And so Abram listens to the voice of Sarai, as opposed to listening to the voice of God and listening to the promises of God. And so what they end up doing is quite literally birthing an Ishmael. They say, well, let's go ahead and get our servant in here. We'll get Hagar in here, and you lay down with her, and maybe God will bring forth the promise through Hagar, my servant. Mm-hmm. And Ishmael is birthed. It creates problems in their life. It creates problems in their household. And many would say, we're still dealing with that mess
still
today.
Majorly dealing with that.
With all the things that have come from that. So,
and it's because he just went into his own head.
That's
he made up his own decision to, you know, and we do that a lot.
We do.
You know, like when we're under pressure, sometimes before going to God, we all do this.
Yep.
Before going to God and inquiring of him, we'll think, okay, gee, this problem, what's the solution for it?
Right.
And we'll go into our own mind to come up with the solution from our past experience with God, even pulling something out. But we need that fresh bread every single day.
Right.
Yeah, that fresh word.
Faith and zeal is good, but in our faith and in our zeal and our expectancy of God, we have to be careful not to get ahead of them. Because they continued to believe God's promise, they just decided to bring it about in their own way, as opposed to trusting in God that he would bring it about in his way.
It has to come out of relationship, because
it does.
God set up the whole kingdom so that it's set up for us to have relationship with God. That's what he craves.
That's
he wants
That's right.
to interact with us and you know, give us his wisdom and his insight, and give, you know, like when we make requests of him, that he can respond. And he just loves to hear our heart and for us to hear his heart. So he sets the whole thing up out of relationship. And if they had gone to God inquired of him, he would have reaffirmed the word he already spoke, or maybe given them something practical to do, you know?
Yeah, we even see that in Genesis 15, where at one point, Abram says, God, how can I know? How can I trust this? And it's exactly what you said. That ends up bringing forth a visitation of God, where God reaffirms to Abram, you can totally trust in this because you can trust in me. Everything God does, and even the things God doesn't do according to our timeline, is always an invitation to deeper relationship and greater intimacy.
That's what David did. David, he would get into some real pickles.
Yes.
You know, but he knew God.
Yes.
And it says that he would inquire
That's
of
right.
the Lord.
That's right.
Or he would strengthen himself
That's right.
in the Lord.
That's right.
And so he knew where to go. Do you know where to go in the middle of a mess, in the middle of a crisis? Do you know who to lean on? Do you know who to go to? It's El Shaddai has given us this amazing invitation in this season.
That's right. So that is the context of El Shaddai, of God showing up and declaring, I'm El Shaddai. Abram and Sarai had taken something that was difficult and improbable, and they've made it impossible and a mess. Because they got in their own heads, they got into their own abilities, and they made an absolute mess of things. This is when God shows up and declares, I am El Shaddai.
Run in the middle of
That's
their
it.
Own mess.
That's it.
He made the mess, and he didn't come to condemn them. He just said, I'm El Shaddai.
That's right.
I'm your God of plenty. I'm your God of abundance. I'm your almighty God. I'm the mighty blessed one. I'll take care of it for you.
That's exactly
I love it.
He shows up and he says, I'm almighty. I'm all sufficient. I'm all you need. I'm the God of the impossible. Yes, you took it from improbable and difficult. Yes, you made it impossible, but it's still my promise, and it's on me to bring it forth.
Come on,
I am El Shaddai.
Are you hearing
this? Come on.
Are you hearing this? If you're in an impossible mess, even if you say, yeah, but it was my fault. I got myself into this mess. This is where God wants to show up in your life. He wants to show up and give you a breakthrough right now. He wants to take that mess upon his shoulders, just like he did through Jesus Christ. He took all of our mess upon his shoulders and did it all for us. He wants to do it for you right now.
Amen.
This is exciting.
Amen. Now look at this in Genesis 17. When God shows up to announce, I am El Shaddai, he says, I am God Almighty. Now two things he pointed out to me here. One, he's declaring that he's God Almighty. He's right. saying to Abram, you've tried to do this in your own strength, and son, you've made a bit of a mess of it, but that's okay. I'm still your God, and the covenant promise is still on me to bring forth. You don't have to do it in your strength. You can't do it in your strength, but beloved, you don't have to. I am God Almighty. The other thing I love about this declaration is God is declaring who he is. Notice he's not declaring what he's going to do. We'll never find our rest in what God is doing because his ways are higher than our ways. They're beyond our ability to understand. Our rest always comes in knowing who he is.
Yep.
We may often not understand what he's doing, but we can always understand what he's like, and we can rest
yeah.
in what he's like. And that's what he does here. He shows up and he declares who he is for his son, who he is for his daughter, who he is as a covenant-keeping God that is all you need. We don't need to understand. We just need to believe.
Oh,
we just need to trust. Come on.
Right
that's
now.
It.
Like, just worship you, Lord, for who you are in all of your greatness and all of your might and all of your love.
Lord.
We love you, Lord. Wow. When you meditate on it, you just want to adore him all the more. You want to worship
it.
Him. And of course, the more you worship him, the more he manifests.
That's right. And the more we worship him, the more we realize truly anything is possible
yes.
with God. No matter what we're facing, no matter how long we've been facing it, when we realize he's the same yesterday,
yeah.
today, and forever, when we realize in this season for his people, he never stopped being El Shaddai. He wants to reintroduce himself as El Shaddai because there's so many that he's given such big promises to. Maybe he gave you a really big promise years ago, and you've been believing and you've been contending, and you haven't seen it come forth yet. Well, I'm telling you today, beloved, is the day that God wants to reintroduce himself to you as El Shaddai, the God of breakthrough, the God of plenty, the God that is all you need. You can let go of all your fear, all your doubt, all the anxiety. Today is the day he wants to remind you he is everything you need. It's a covenant promise, and he will bring it
forth. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So he says to Abram and Sarai, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you. Now, what I find interesting about that is when he says, walk before me and be blameless. Now, God knows they can't do that in their own strength.
Right.
It's not this declaration telling Abram, here's what you need to do and you'll get my promise. It's the revelation that you can't do this without me, but son, you don't have to. I'm right here. I'm your God. That word walk can be translated as come alongside of me or come apace of me. In other words, whatever you're going through, go through it with me,
yep.
and then everything can shift, and then everything is possible.
Come on, I love it. I just love the way he just intervenes.
Yes.
Like, I remember when I was young, okay,
yeah.
I was about 19, I think, maybe 20, And I was out looking at cars with a friend.
Okay.
And I didn't know. I didn't have life experience then, so I didn't know the way these car salespeople were.
Right.
So he talked me into, the salesperson talked me into buying this car. And I signed on the dotted line. I signed for a loan because I was old enough. So I must have been 19 or 20 maybe. I was old enough to sign for the loan. So I signed for the loan and bought the car. Oh, I was so excited. I was driving the car home, and my father looked at it. My natural father
yeah.
looked at it. And he says, "Where'd you get the car?" And I says, "I bought it." He said, "How did you buy it?" And I said, "Well, they, you know, gave me a loan for it. I just have to pay so much." And he looked at the car, and he knew that they took me for a ride. I made such a mess of it. They charged me over double the amount that the car was
wow.
worth. He showed it to me in the blue book and everything.
Yeah.
And they were charging me exorbitant in interest. Of course, I had no
right.
idea, right?
Right.
So he said, "I'm going to take care of this." Now, I made the mess.
Right.
He could have condemned me, but he just took me in the car and took me back down to the place and sorted the whole thing out. And I'll never forget him because my father's a really mild-mannered person.
Yeah.
Right? You know my father.
Yeah, yeah.
But he
very
said
positive,
with
very
sternness,
mild-mannered.
You know. And I saw, like, I only know the soft side of my father, which is a neat picture.
Right.
But that salesman, he saw another side of my father. And my father said, "You will tear up that loan. You will take this car back, or I'm going to report you because this is blah, 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 blah." I was looking like, wow. And immediately he tears up the thing and gives me back the money and everything like that, right? And my daddy took care of it.
That's
it was my mess, but
That's
he took
right.
care of it.
That's right.
And I think that he wants us to know, like, you will know that soft side of him because he just loves you. I mean, I made this blunder, but my father, he didn't condemn me. He just took care of the mess. But those who got me, you know, took advantage of me, wow, my father took care of them.
That's right.
And that's how our God is. That's
what our Father God is like. And he says that to Abram. After he says this to him, he says, "I will establish my covenant between you and I." He's saying, just like your father did for you, Patricia, he didn't condemn you for the mess that you made. He actually probably was proud of you for stepping out. You might not have done it right. You might not have done it well, but he wasn't saying you shouldn't be thinking for yourself.
He thought I was stupid, but he didn't.
But he was too kind to say, "Well, you know what? There's probably times God looks at us and says, I don't know why you did that. I really wish you hadn't, but I'm still your father. I still love you. I'm still here for you." And that's what he says to Abram. He says, "I will uh-huh. establish my covenant
yeah.
between me and you. Son, you tried to do it. You tried yeah. to bring it forth, and you made a mess of it.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that you can still trust in me.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not condemning you. I'm
yeah.
still going to show up for you."
Awesome.
That's the amazing El Shaddai. That
it.
Is God Almighty. That is God All-Sufficient.
Amen.
God All We Need. God of the Impossible.
Amen.
He's amazing.
Amen. And you know, when you call on God's name, like when, you know, because he's got many names
right.
and titles and descriptions and that. But when you focus, like we had, what, for a couple months, we were focusing on El Shaddai, right?
Yes, right.
And in our staff meetings,
yeah.
and we're just savoring, you know, all the scriptures and everything. But it's like as you meditate on him, he manifests.
It does.
As that.
That's right.
You know, and of course, we've known that. It's so beautiful. He's so amazing. And if you start thinking of him in that way, like meditate on him, and oh, El Shaddai, you are the God Almighty, the
yeah.
God of all plenty, the God of my breakthrough, the
yeah.
God who's going to clean up my mess.
Yeah.
And you start worshiping him for that. He just like melts into the environment and connects with you and manifests who he is in that situation. That's what he delights to do. He's just waiting for our acknowledgement
That's right.
and our faith. And then when he does it, just deepens your relationship because you're so excited about what he's done and how good he is. It's so, so awesome.
He loves being loved and appreciated. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that in his heart right now, he's saying, "I want to reintroduce myself to my kids as El Shaddai. I want to remind them." You know, Paul says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And that's so important for us because sometimes in our zeal, in our hope, in our expectancy, we can make a mess of things. We can, God loves when we jump out of the boat, when we're willing to step out of the boat and trust in him. But sometimes we get a few steps out and we get our momentum going and maybe we get our eyes off of him and we start to sink a little bit. Well, did Jesus come up to Peter and say, "You got your eyes off me, you're sinking, good luck"? No, he said, "Here, come to me. Let me lift you back up. I'm so proud of you for stepping out. So the devil will try to condemn us. If we step out and we don't do things perfectly, he's going to make us, he wants us to feel condemned and disqualified. He accuses us. He condemns us. He makes us feel guilty and ashamed. God just wants to show up and say, I love you.
Yep.
I'm still God. I'm still your father. I still care about you. I'm still the one responsible for bringing forth my promise. And Abram realizes that. I think the breakthrough for Abram is he realizes, I can't bring this forth. But then he gets the revelation, and I don't have to. Because it's God's promise to me.
That.
It's never been dependent on me to bring forth the promise of God. It's only been dependent on me to trust that God will, because
right.
he will. And that's who he is. And then what's amazing, Patricia, is not only does God show up and take his mess and make it a message, he not only brings forth the promise, but transformation and multiplication come forth. Because when Abram is willing to trust in God as El Shaddai, all sufficient, all powerful, all he needs, God of the impossible, God not only says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to establish my covenant. But then he says, and you know what, son? You'll no longer be Abram. Now you shall be Abraham. Transformation comes forth.
He put himself inside of Abraham.
It's an amazing thing. When we receive him as El Shaddai, when we meditate on him as El Shaddai, when we realize he is the God of the impossible, he comes not only into the situation, he comes into us. And he brings forth transformation and multiplication. Abram went from exalted father, which is great. I'm going to give you an heir, and there's going to be the promise coming forth. And now he's saying, you shall be the father of multitudes.
And he did the same to Sarah, too.
That's right.
And Sarah caused Abraham to trip up in a way, as women do that sometimes. You know, but even with that, he puts his name inside of Sarah.
That's
and
right.
she was Sarah.
That's right.
That was the name of God being put. He put himself right inside of them. But you see what that was the New Testament.
That's right.
Being made manifest because he's put his breath inside of us through Jesus Christ.
That's it.
We have Jesus Christ in us. It's Emmanuel, God with us, you know. But Abraham and Sarah knew that.
That's right.
Also.
You know, and sometimes what people wrestle with is I've shared this message in a few different places around the world recently, and many people have received it, but I've also had some people come up and say, I love this word. I want to believe it, but I've been contending for so long. How do I know God can show up and do this for me? And I think the key is, even though this is out of the Old Testament, we need to remember God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord. He changes not. And every single person, every single Christian already knows him as the God of the impossible. Because Jesus Christ, Jehovah Yeshua, is El Shaddai. Jesus has done the impossible for us. He has fulfilled our half of the covenant. He has restored us to relationship with our Heavenly Father. He has made all of the kingdom, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, everything of our Father and our Father's kingdom. We've been restored to relationship and the fullness of all that he is and all that he has. So we already have this incredible testimony of Jesus Christ is El Shaddai.
Yeah.
So we can believe him for that in every set of circumstances.
Yeah. And also, Robert, I think we have to be really careful not to live our life with temporal perspective.
That's right.
Because if God said he'll do it, he will do it.
That's right.
And so we have to live with eternal perspective. Like Abraham, he had a promise for a son, but Isaac didn't manifest for a long time after that.
Yeah.
But Abraham didn't keep saying, oh, I don't know, I'm waiting so long and you're probably not going to show up, God. He just believed. It says in the New Testament.
That's right.
He had hope against hope. He believed without faltering. He believed,
That's
you know.
Right.
And it's like we have to stand in the eternal. We have to live in that eternal dimension and know that if God said it, it will manifest.
That's right.
It might manifest quickly, it might take some time, and sometimes it manifests on the other side.
That's right.
But we have to lock into the truth so that we can honor God and never, oh well, how come it's not going to happen? That's what Israel did in the wilderness, and they failed to see
That's right.
that God was present with them. We just have about a minute or so left, Robert, but I just feel like you've got some prophetic, you know, decree for those that are watching. I just feel the breaker on this.
I agree.
This is such a powerful message, and I know you've got so much more. I mean, you haven't been able to share anywhere near the full message yet, but why don't you minister to the people?
Sure, right? I'd love to. You know, God wants to reveal himself to you as El Shaddai. He wants to introduce himself to you as El Shaddai. So I declare over each and every one of you watching, whatever you're facing, whatever mess, whatever test, that God is showing up as El Shaddai for you. Amen. In this season, to turn your messes into messages, to turn your tests into testimonies, that the God of the impossible is showing up to bring breakthrough, and he's going to break through in every situation. I speak to every single person, every body, every soul, every situation, that Jesus Christ is El Shaddai, the God of the impossible, God Almighty, God All Sufficient, God all you need. And as you turn to him in this hour, in this season, he will reveal himself to you as El Shaddai and bring breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen.
I can feel it. Now, we want you to email us also. If you have a testimony of how God is breaking through for you, we hear testimonies all the time. Everywhere I go, people say how they receive miracles through media. And so please send us your testimonies. And remember that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. And can I invite you to sow generously into this ministry so that we can continue to create, produce, and distribute media around the world that will fill the world with God's love and with knowledge of his truth. We would really appreciate your partnership, your generous gifts, and just the connecting with you as family would be amazing. You can go on our website, patriciaking.com, and join us on Sunday mornings for our live broadcast or webcast of our church services here in the studio called Shiloh. And you can go on xpshiloh.com Sunday mornings, 10:30 Arizona time. Would love to have you live with us or on demand following. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
God loves justice, and Operation Justice is all about establishing his presence in the nation of Cambodia. Many are suffering, but God has called his people to bring forth his love, justice, and hope to those who are in darkness. Come and be a part of XP Mission's strategic outreaches in the capital city of Phnom Penh. Join our team in Mercy Ministry and do a variety of ground-level missions work that will bring life and love to these people that so desperately need the kingdom to come into their lives. Sign up now.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.